Powered by Riverside.
Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is volume 2025, episode number 7. I am your co-host. I'm a co-host. I'm C. Willie. I'm here. I'm joined by the lovely and talented co-host.
Put her peep.
All right. She is there. Usually I try and say something witty at this point, but I'm wittyless tonight. So we'll just go right into the fantastic duo that we have with us. Our special guest tonight, Courtney and Eli from Gritty Sunset. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. We are so thrilled to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And you're kind of solidifying our Texas connection now. We've got you guys there again. This is wonderful. We've had an opportunity to talk with a number of folks there in your area. And what talent coming out of Texas. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, we moved to Austin from New York City 4 years ago, and we were just blown away by the community here. And how warm and welcoming it is. Yeah, and yeah. Everybody just wants to elevate everybody, and it's really special.
Well, that is great. And we've had the opportunity to talk with a couple of folks that you've worked with as well. And I know that is the sense that we get from everybody. And that's, you know, that's the music community as a whole. There's not a whole lot of bickering. It's let's look, what can we do for each other?
Yes.
Ideally.
Ideally. Sometimes egos can get in there, but yeah, it's mostly a symbiotic, a beautiful symbiotic relationship. Yeah.
So you moved from New York to Austin. Is that really where Gritty Sunset took off, or were you doing things in New York prior to? How did you get started? What's kind of the history?
Sure. We actually met in New York City in 2019.
Okay.
And We both have been working in the music industry for a very long time. I moved there in 2008. I believe you moved there.
2000.
He's originally from Brazil, Rio de Janeiro.
Rio de Janeiro.
And cool. I'm a Michigan girl. And
yes, we're in the
food
there.
Incredible. Yeah, so I grew up north of Detroit in a small town called Waterford.
We know Waterford very well.
Yes. Okay. So I'm a Waterford girl through and through. And so we, you know, individually had a bunch of different projects we were working on. And we met at a gig in a cold night in January. And a girlfriend of mine was singing with his band. And she begged me to come out. And you know how the winter is. When you're in, you're not going back out. But she convinced me. She said, listen, you can sit in with the band. It's a great band. I'm going to buy you a glass of wine. Please just come out. And I said, fine, I'll come out. I bundled myself up and I got on the subway. And it was one of those darker kind of lounges. And he had taken a guitar solo. And I was in mid-conversation with somebody else. And I stopped and I said, who's that guy? I just was blown away by how tasteful he was and how musical he was. And at that time, I was so uber focused on getting my career really back into music because I did a brief stint in corporate America for about 3 years and realized that wasn't for me. So I was really on the fast track of just getting back and doing music full time. So I heard him and thought, oh my goodness, it was so inspiring. And I sat in with the band and he was like, okay, you know, she's pretty good. And then I was such a nerd and I'm like,
all the guitar practice finally paid off, you know?
And I actually like slid into his DMs and I was like, hey, do you want to work together? You're amazing. And luckily he didn't think I was a psychopath.
Yeah, and, it's a little weird, but sure.
You know, we immediately started working together and putting together, you know, promo videos so we would be a cover band, like a cover duo and do corporate parties and weddings and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that was about a year we were doing that. And
we're friends for like almost a year.
Yes.
And then.
Yes.
And then it became more.
Yeah. And so, you know, December of 2019, we, you know, officially started dating. Friendship went into romance. And that thing happened a few months later. And I had been in New York for 12 years. And I thought, you know, I'm ready for a change of atmosphere. Being there for the lockdown was a tough time, very tough.
Yeah.
And we were such a new thing that I had to ask him, like, is this a me conversation or a we conversation? Because I don't know if I really want to stay here. I'd like to give some other place a try. And, you know, he was like, well, I don't think I'm ready to go yet. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll suck it up and stay. And within a few months, he was on board. He was like, you know what? Let's do it. And so Austin and Nashville, those were the two choices that we were looking at, because LA and New York were kind of just out of the realm for us at that point. And we landed on Austin, and I told my parents about it, and they were like, maybe we'll move there too. And then they did. Yeah, it's been a really cool journey. Yeah. And then as far as original music, we started writing in Austin, I would say around 2021. We started writing like a really bad song. It's like a really bad song.
Oh, yeah.
And we met Joe James, and I just asked him, and I was like, Joe, would you mind just coming over, hanging out with us? We have this song. I would love to hear your feedback or what your advice would be. And it turned out that we had such a blast. We had such a chemistry just from that one meeting. And we were just new friends at that point.
At that time, I was starting to play with them. I was playing bass with them.
Yeah.
Ever so often. Okay. So that was the connection there.
It was such a fun and enlightening experience for me, because historically it always felt not good enough to write music. I thought I was just this singer that was going to sing other people's songs and make a career out of that. And he made me feel like with Eli and Joe, they just made me feel really comfortable to kind of just get this stuff out and work it out. And none of my ideas are stupid, because I'd be like, oh, this is stupid. And he'd be like, sing it to me. And I'd be like, no, I'm not going to sing it to you. And it was just it took away my fear that songwriting did not have to be scary. And it's not supposed to be scary. It's supposed to be really fun. And so we started scheduling regular writing sessions. Mm-hmm. And that is how it all began, really. All
right. And mm-hmm. Joe kind of the catalyst for that happening then.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, he has extensive experience in songwriting rooms. He's done songwriting sessions in LA. So he has quite the lexicon, if you will, to mm-hmm. help singers and songwriters.
Yeah. He knows how to just like steer the ship. In a way, a lot of times, like, he's not really writing, but he's just like, all right, what do you think of this? Tell me more about what this is, or what are you trying to say here? And just to get the most out of, in this case, more, you know, I'm not much of a lyricist, but I do melodies and all the music stuff. But so trying to get her to, like, you know, say a little, just put on paper what she was feeling, what she was trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. Just that guidance.
And usually Eli would start out playing chords. He would just be playing, he would improvise. And mm-hmm. every so often I'd say, ooh, right there. I like what you did there.
That's the spot.
And that's how it would start. And whatever that sonic treat was what decided what are we going to write about with this? Because what does this evoke when you hear this kind of chord progression? And that's how it went.
Well, tell us a little bit. We've got a couple of your originals queued up here tonight. And the first one that we have up is All That I Need. Tell us a little bit about how that transpired. What's the backstory on All That I Need?
So the backstory on that is he came up with this awesome chord progression. Mm-hmm. and Joe said, well, what do you want to talk about on this? And I said, you know, I want to talk about how growing up, I got involved in the music industry pretty early on. And I was a teenager and I had the whole I had a manager and all these people that were like, we're going to make you a pop star in a year. And went into recording studios and cut demos and met a bunch of different producers and songwriters and pushing songs on me that didn't fit, or certain language that my parents weren't comfortable with, or attire that, you know, the very classic situation of pop music and young people. And so I got introduced to the underbelly of the industry at a young age, and it was disenchanting. And at one point I thought I was going to turn my back on it, because I thought, you know, if it's this price, I'm not willing to pay it. And that was part of the reason I kind of departed into corporate America. It just kept, those kinds of things kept happening. It was always, we can give you this, but you need to compromise this. We can do this, but then you're going to have to do that. Like a quid pro quo all around, that is always going to...
Here's what you have to be. If you're going to be successful, you're going to do it X, Y, and Z.
But it's so funny because they have this mask on saying, oh, you're just being your authentic self and this is just your real art. And that's not the case. They want to tell you what to say, what to wear, how to wear it, how the music is going to sound. What are the BPMs? Like they are dictating it all.
Yeah.
And so for me, I wanted to be just truthful about that, and just realizing in the end, the things in life that really do matter. And as long as I have, you know, the things that are important, like love and friendships and a relationship with God and all of these things, none of that matters. And I can still do music the way we want to.
Yes. And that's what all that I need is.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Let's give this one a listen. This is Gritty Sunsets, All That I Need.
I used to think that all I needed was on the cover of a magazine. I was told I had to play the game if I ever wanted to be seen. By this, say that, wear this, be that. That is when you will have it all. This can't be all there is. But now I know. According to the rules, at every turn I compromise myself and gain it all just to play the fool. Sell sex, lose weight, don't ask no questions. Does this mean I'm happy now? This can't be all there is. It's just a lie. Money. All that I need is just some.
All That I Need from Gritty Sunset. That's, you know, and it's what I love too when we have the opportunity to do these shows is now hearing the story back behind that and what different meaning that gives to the song when you hear it again. It's just, it really is interesting, you know, kind of filling or feeling out what really is important. And, you know, we all get promised the moon and the stars. And then when you realize what has to go into it, maybe it's not that great.
Yeah. Well, they are the moon and the stars.
Yes, you are.
Did you hear that, babe?
Which one am I?
You can be both if you want.
I'm the star.
Yeah, that's right. We're always deciding who's the gritty, who's the sunset. Depends on the day.
Depending on the day. Yeah. It changes.
Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about the creation process, and it's generally pulling a few things from the chords that you're hearing there. Now, sometimes, you know, with some of the folks that we've talked to, a song might be in development for 10 years. Sometimes a song might be ready to go after writing it down on the napkin at breakfast, and here we go, record it that afternoon. Do you find similar things as you guys are putting together your work?
I feel like it changes a bit. Some songs come out easier and faster than others. But yeah, even with some of my own stuff, I have ideas and things that I never finished from like 10, 15 years ago. And then sometimes you just sit down and everything just comes like all in one flow. But I always feel like it changed, but we had to kind of work at it for a little bit.
Yeah. As a new singer-songwriter, and I'm still like a little kid in my mind about it, I found out that the more serious emotional songs write themselves almost. Those come out quickly. It's the fast bops that make you feel good. Those are difficult. Because you have to simplify it. And you have to make it singable, digestible.
Sure. Without sounding cheesy.
Without sounding cheesy. Like musicians always want to put flowers and bells and whistles on everything. And sometimes you just have to force yourself to simplify and make it just feel good and easy. So I would say Busy Doing Nothing and Build My Castle took more effort, and those took a few sessions to work those out.
Yeah, we had a chorus and a verse, and then the second verse took kind of forever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, let's see, are we doing a bridge on this? And that was another day.
And you want to overthink it, and you're just you have to think less and just let it feel on those songs. So that to me was eye-opening and interesting, just an interesting thing about the art of songwriting. Now, another songwriter might be the opposite. Who knows? But well, for I've me, that was the case.
That process of simplification and letting it happen is what time is all about. The next one that we've got queued up, it's a beautiful, beautiful song.
Thank you.
But to me, is one of those that seems very, very pure. You listen to this song, and I feel like this was a one right, and we got it. Was that the case as you were putting this one together?
It was pretty quick.
Bit, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a hard one too. It was the most personal.
It was very personal. It was very raw. So I have a distinct, very vivid memory of writing this song at our kitchen table in our old apartment. It was the three of us sitting at the table. Eli had his acoustic guitar, and I was writing the second verse. Your name carved in stone as you went home to heaven. And Joe saw that I wrote it, and he said, okay, now sing it. Like, really sing it. Don't be afraid. Just sing the words. And so I sang through that second verse the way it's written now. And both Eli and Joe, their eyes, they're like, that is intense. And I was like, oh, man. And that was very cathartic.
Yes.
Very cathartic moment. And I thought, maybe I'm not bad at this.
Well, we definitely, you've got our vote. There is no question about that.
Thank you. Because
it was real, real and honest.
Very
that's,
real.
That's
very life. Messy. I mean, just being vulnerable and truthful about where I messed up and wish I could have done things differently.
Sure.
So, you know, it seems really sad and hopeless in the beginning, but it's ultimately a song about hope.
No question.
So
let's give this one a listen. This is Pretty Sunset Time.
You wrote me a letter. You said that you needed me, but I threw and you begged me to see you. I said no, and I didn't go. The fight with your demons burned holes in my heart, but I never stopped loving you. What am I doing with time? Feels like I'm losing. As you went home to heaven, so much to say, but you had to go. On that day, so many came, and they remembered your beauty. Beyond the thorns, they saw a rose. My pain was a thief of my will to forget, but I never stopped loving you. What am I doing with time? Well, feels like I'm losing the fight. I hold on tight and I slowly find that it's slipping away. But I'm still breathing and I'm gonna make it right. But I'm still breathing and I'm gonna make it right. Every tear will be wiped away. One day, I know it will be what it was meant to be. So much better. One day, I know we'll get to say what we wanted to say. Every tear will be wiped.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's a song. this happens to us from time to time on this show too. You hear one like that, and thank you for writing that. That is absolutely an amazing tune.
Thank you. And I didn't think I mentioned it before, but the person I'm singing about in the song is my brother, who suffered from alcoholism, and he was also a victim of the opioid crisis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that cocktail it was hard to deal with that, and he struggled with that for well over 2 decades.
Mm.
And, you know, at the time I thought I was doing what I needed to do by keeping distance. And I just wish I hadn't have done that, because, you know, he was in prison for breaking into a pharmacy So,
mm-hmm.
And he was killed in prison, but he called from prison and asked me to come visit and wrote me letters. Mm-hmm. And I didn't answer the call. So that's what the song is about. That's right.
You did now.
And maybe what you've done by putting that out there is going to help other people too.
Mm-hmm.
They do that. They know what the story is. And maybe that inspires somebody to take another step somewhere else.
That's what we're hoping. We're hoping that it inspires someone to start the conversation in a broken relationship, and open that line of communication, because everybody is hurting and you just never know what people are dealing with. And, you know, for him, he never wanted to do the things he did. It was a disease. And he was just someone who was hurting. And sometimes it's just hard to understand and hard to, you know, soften your heart to something like that. But it's important. So that's why we wrote this song.
Thank you for writing.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Somebody else is going to be thanking you for that as well. Oh, you know that's going to be the case sometime.
Yes. Yes.
So we've been talking about what the process has been and the move from New York to Austin, and you've got some shows coming up. You've got one about 3 weeks or so after this comes out, March 6th of 2025. It'll be in the Monk's Jazz Club in Austin.
Yes, that's correct. So that will be, we're really excited about that show, and you can actually stream it as well. They have a 5 or 6 camera.
Yeah, they have a whole setup
there. It's beautiful, and so if you can't get there in person, you can watch it.
Phone on us. We're going to be watching.
Yay! And we also have a songwriters show at the O4 Center in Austin on March 26th. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be performing with 2 other couples that are songwriters. So it's going to be 3 couples, couples edition, if you will, of songwriters. And they're all good friends of ours.
Song swap.
So that's going to be an intimate, fun evening as well.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
And we're
the 29th with Joe.
29th, we're going to be with Joe James. At Cedar Creek Studios. They're doing an Austin Artist Spotlight. And Joe was like, can you guys do it with me? Because he's that guy.
I know there's very limited city and stuff that too, but they're going to be recording and filming the whole thing. It's like live in the studio situation.
So
I got to play with Joe and our stuff.
Yeah.
You talked about him a bit during the show here. And the next song that we've got up is a collaboration. You've got David Grissom in on this one as well. But we love Joe, and we've made our commitment. And so sometime in June, we're going to have to figure out what your schedules are all about and what's going on. But we're getting down to Austin. We've got to do it. Nashville last fall for the Josie Awards, and I think we're going to be doing that again. But and there's our buddy. He's in there.
This is Ducky. This is Ducky, everybody.
Ducky joined the show.
Our 4-year-old Ishla.
All right. We want to get down there and get together with everybody that we've had on the show from here. Peyton Riley has been there, and
Nice.
Riley Hearman was on. Of course, we've had Joe and And now Gritty Sunset is with us. So we get everybody together and have some fun there. And, and discover the Austin music scene, because you really have a thriving scene there.
Yeah.
Massive. And it's growing.
Yeah.
It's, we cannot wait for you to come. You are going to have an excellent and superb time.
We're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So we've got one one last one queued up here. Busy doing nothing, which is something I like to do. Tell us a little bit about this one. And this is the one that is featuring David Grissom as well.
Yes. So Eli came up with this filthy, bluesy chord progression. And again, you know, Joe and I are like, what do I want to talk about? And I said, you know what? My favorite thing to do is nothing. You know, I love a canceled plan. I mean, as someone who loves to be out on the scene, I do. I'm a social butterfly. I'm an extrovert. But there is something special about no plans, a weekend where you don't have to go anywhere. Or I said canceled plans. Yeah. It is a beautiful thing. And it just is like a serotonin overload in the brain. And it feels incredible. So I thought, let's just write a song about that, because I do believe it's relatable.
Oh, yeah. People listening to this.
Oh, yeah.
So Eli, tell them about our connection.
Yeah, and that was a fun song and stuff. And originally I was going to play a solo there. And I set up the bridge. Now I made the instrumental thing. But I play bass with David Grissom in town. And he's amazing. One of my favorite players. And actually one of my favorite gigs too. We play at the Saxon Pub in Austin every Tuesday. Free show, 6 to 7:30.
Perfect.
It's great timing. And it's always packed. It's amazing. We're actually playing there. Oh, it's going to be a show late, but I'll be there tomorrow. I just kind of threw it out there. It's like, hey, David, no pressure, but man, we'd love to have you on the track with us and stuff. And I just kind of threw it out there. He's like, yes, just send it to me. And I remember he was a little busy, you know, I didn't want to be pushing it. And then all of a sudden, he just sends the guitar back. I was like, oh, he did already. Oh, cool. And I, you know, he sent and it was like perfect. He's like, yeah, I played more than I needed to. So you can just chop up whatever you don't need to, you don't want to use. And I was like, cool, man. Just, you know, send me the bill. And he's like, no, I got you. This one's on the house.
All right.
And it was cool because the day that we released the song, it was also on a Tuesday, and I was playing with him. So he invited Courtney to come to Saxon, and, you know, she went up, and we got to play the song with him, you know, live at Saxon, and that was pretty fun.
Really special.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he played at our EP release show, which was really, really special.
He doesn't really sit in at people's gigs. No. So it was cool that he was there, and it was like, yeah, I'm just going to go. He stayed, you know. That was the last song that we played, and he got there before the show started, hung out, watched the whole show, and went up and killed it, as he always does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the best.
I felt very blessed, blessed that he wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah, tells him a lot about, or tells you guys a lot about what he thinks of you, if he's willing to do something like that. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, I guess. But he's...
All right. Well, let's get busy doing nothing. This is pretty sus.
I don't mean to be callous, gonna be all day. Gonna be all day. It's just a dose of my own therapy. There's nothing more to say. But if you wanna come and find me, we can get down tonight. Don't call, I'm busy doing nothing. Hey!
You can hear Jill's voice there.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that song. That is so much fun.
Thank you. We actually recorded the gang vocals here in our house.
I just moved into this house.
Yes. And the horns. All the horns on everything.
The gang vocals. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of like ran out of money at the end.
Oh, no. That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Hey, before we wrap things up, tell us again, where do people find you? Where do we find Gritty Sunset?
Well, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, grittysunset.com.
Has all the links there.
And honestly, the best way to keep up with any artist these days is to join the mailing list, which I know that you did.
We just did.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Honestly, to everybody who's watching and listening, that is the best way to support independent artists, because all of the content that is on these platforms, it doesn't belong to us essentially anymore. So if we wake up one day and our account's gone, we can't really get
That's
to you.
Yeah.
So okay. The way that we can combat that, if any account gets suspended or taken down or you know, there's a ban on anything.
It goes away.
That's right. Yeah. If we have an email list, if you're a part of our email list, you will always know what's going on, when, how, with who, the whole gamut. So we highly recommend anybody who's interested in us to join our mailing list. And that's on our all of the social platforms. You can find that link and on our website.
Well, and we're certainly looking forward to hearing more from you, too. Thank you.
Because we're looking forward to recording a bonus song, and we're going to get vinyl made.
All right.
So, yeah, we're very excited about that.
Well, we need to know all about that when that happens, too.
We will be sure to let you know.
Courtney and Eli from Gritty Sunset, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both so much. Quarter Peepsy, Willie, you guys, this has been such a wonderful and lovely interview. Thank you for the love and the support.
Quarter Peep, who do we have coming up next?
Yeah, so next week we have Cela Campbell.
All right, we're looking forward to talking with Cela. We got a wrap on tonight's show. The wonderful folks from Gritty Sunset, Courtney and Eli, thank you again for joining us. We appreciate it tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
For all of you out there in podcast land, please remember to subscribe and share with your friends. Let them know what we're doing. If you know some more folks like Courtney and Eli from Gritty Sunset, drop us an email, vehiclecitysound@gmail.com. We want to get in touch with those folks. You'll know what we're doing if you look us up on the net, vehiclecitysound.com. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for joining us. And hey, everybody, be good.